Our scripture for the evening is selected from Acts chapter 11, verse 18 and verse 19. When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but to the Jews only. May God add a blessing to those who hear his word and obey his word.
Good evening. It's good to see you tonight. We're glad that you're here. If you're there in the book of Acts in chapter 11, this is our last sermon on evangelistic preaching, at least for a while. At any rate, I feel certain we'll come back to evangelism at some point down the road a piece. But we began back in Acts chapter 1 talking about evangelistic preaching. We actually looked at what it is and what it is not. Tonight we end. What we read or had read in verse number 18 was the reaction of the Jews in verse number 18 to their hearing that the Gentiles had received and obeyed the gospel. The reality is in verse 19, and that's what brings us to our subject tonight. Evangelistic preaching is for everyone. It is preaching the gospel to everybody. The reaction is verse 18. The reality is those that were scattered abroad at the persecution of Stephen, what we read in Acts 8 and verse number 4 says, they went everywhere preaching the word. And that is so optimistic and hopeful that we just assume, well, rather naturally, that they're doing exactly what Jesus had said in back in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. That the gospel was to begin in Jerusalem and then Judea and then Samaria and then the uttermost parts of the earth. We read Mark 16, 15 and 16, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And so when we read Acts 8, 4, they went everywhere preaching the word. Well, we just kind of connect the dots and we just assume that they went everywhere preaching the word to everyone. Acts 11, 19 tells us that wasn't the case. They did go. They did preach. The end of that verse says, to none but the Jews only. And that is the sad reality of what was happening. And on some level, it sounds bad, and I guess it is, but the truth is, it appears that often it's the case that people think other people unworthy of the gospel. That's just the sad reality. Now, for whatever reason they make that judgment, there could be any number of reasons for that. But the reality is, it is not always shared by everyone to everyone. The thankful thing is, God doesn't have anyone he doesn't believe worthy of the gospel. As you read through the Bible, it makes the case that God so loved the world, John 3:16. The ungodly, sinful world, Romans 5, 6 through 8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. As we approach God and salvation, the emphasis is clearly and often, whosoever will, let him come. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And then there's Revelation 22, 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come, let him who is athirst come, drink of the water of life freely. Whosoever will, let him come. Humanity and Christians have to adopt that philosophy. Ananias did not think Saul was worthy of the gospel. Go back to Acts chapter 8 and maybe, just maybe, you might maybe see his disposition and his part. I don't know. Saul was consenting to the death of Stephen. Acts chapter 7 ends with those words. And in Acts chapter 8, Well, Acts 8:1 says Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. There arose a great persecution. Acts 8 and verse number 3, Saul was making havoc, King James, ravaging the church. Other renderings say that. Stephen was put to death in Acts 7, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Now, what we read next is that Saul continued his persecution. In fact, he was on his way to do more when the Lord met him. And as you look in Acts chapter 9 and down in verse number 9 beginning, Jesus and Ananias have a conversation. The Lord is interested in Saul. And so the Lord talks to Saul and tells him to go into the city. It'll be told you what you must do. That's Acts chapter 9 and verse number 5, 4, 5, and 6. And while Jesus is doing that, the Bible says down in verse number 9 and 10, there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him, and so there's this interesting thing happening where Jesus appears to Saul and tells him to go into the city. And then Jesus appears to Ananias and tells him to go to Saul. But Ananias answers the Lord in verse number 13. And Ananias said, Lord, I have heard about him. About this man and how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And now he's here under authority to, by the chief priest, to bind those who call on your name. And there's this conversation going on, and then the Lord answers Ananias. The Lord said to him, go, for he's a chosen vessel for me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings, for I'll show him how much. But just pause for a minute. You know, as we just kind of read over that, just listen to that. Jesus already appeared to Saul of Tarsus. I don't know what your image is of God, but he's not this tyrannical parent who has no use for his children and there's no allowance for them sharing. No. Jesus appears to Ananias and says, go. And Ananias says, Lord, I've heard about him. I've heard what he's done. And he's here to do more harm to your people. And you just hear this conversation. The Lord says, but go, he's chosen. I've already decided you need to go. And just as surely as the conversation kind of goes back and forward, verse number 17, Ananias got up and obeyed God and he went. Ananias went and he did exactly what the Lord said. And then there's verse number 18. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. He regained sight and got up and he was baptized. That's Saul of Tarsus. You know what we were just reading in Acts chapter 7? The end of that chapter said this man was consenting, and into chapter 8, consenting to the death of Stephen. In hearty agreement. In fact, if you read what he writes in other places about his disposition, he will say of himself, I was injurious and I was a persecutor. That's 1 Timothy chapter 1 about verse 13 down to verse number 17. He says what he was and how he felt about God's people and about God's church. If you read him in Acts chapter 26 and verse number 9, he'll say, I thought within myself I should do much harm to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And he did it. And yet, when he heard the gospel, when Ananias made his way to Saul of Tarsus, Saul of Tarsus immediately obeyed the gospel. There is a lesson in that for us all. It might be the case that you're looking at somebody and having thoughts and doubts about whether or not they will. And maybe you know something about their past and have therefore concluded they won't. But here's the reality. He did. He obeyed the gospel and became the Apostle Paul. Why did he do that? How did he do that? He did that because the gospel eventually found its way to him. And when he heard it, he obeyed it. Secondly, Peter didn't think the Gentiles worthy of the gospel. Go over to Acts chapter 9. If you were to read the rest of that, you'll get into Peter and how he heals Dorcas and how he goes to the house of a man named Simon. And then when you get into Acts chapter 10, from verse 9 down to verse number 16, much the same way as it happened, God had already appeared to Cornelius. That's the first section of the chapter. And as God appeals to Cornelius and tells him, your prayers are come up as an alms before God, and he's heard your prayer. He tells Cornelius, send men to Joppa for one named Simon. Peter, that is. He's dwelling with another Simon. And then God begins to talk to Peter. Verse number 9. On the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up onto the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And while he is up there, Peter becomes hungry, and this vision ensues. The sky opens and a sheet descends, and on the sheet there are all of these animals. Verse number 12 says, there were in it all kinds of four-footed beasts or animals and crawling creatures of the earth. And a voice came to him saying, get up, Peter, rise, kill and eat. And then Peter, like Ananias, begins to talk to God. And Peter says to God, no, by no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered into my body. And verse number 15 says, again the voice came a second time. What God has cleansed, you don't call common. In verse number 16, the Bible says, this happened three times. Immediately, object was taken up into the sky. Verse number 17, Peter did, just like Ananias, Peter did obey God. While Peter was waiting, he was told, there are men coming, go with them, asking no questions. And Peter does. As you continue to read through Acts chapter 10, Peter reaches the house of Cornelius. And maybe Peter, like Ananias, had thought that the Gentiles were not worthy of the gospel, which is really kind of the problem. The reason we're going to get to Acts 11, 18, and 19 is because the Jews wouldn't share the gospel with the Gentiles. And even upon reaching the house of Cornelius, when Peter arrives, Peter says to him, you know it's an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company with a man of another nation. But God has told me not to call anything common. As Peter then begins to preach to the house of Cornelius, this chapter ends just like it did with Saul of Tarsus. Verse number 47 says, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did. And so he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. Now, as you go into Acts chapter 11, when Peter returns to Jerusalem, the Jews take umbrage with him. Peter then rehearses the events in order. And what we had read over in Acts chapter 11, verse 18, the Bible says when they heard this, what they had heard is Peter's explanation of the events. Peter explained to them how God appeared to him. Peter explained the vision. And Peter explained that God told him to go. And when he got there, Peter explained the Holy Spirit descending. And Peter says, now who was I that I could withstand God? And so when they heard this, the Bible says they rejoiced. And then those words in verse number 19, for the Jews, for they had not preached the gospel to anyone but the Jews. The point is simply this, friends, the gospel is for all. You and I talk about sharing the gospel. You and I talk about the good news. There cannot be limitations. There cannot be individuals that we deem unfit, unworthy. Listen, we don't have to make anybody obey. We don't have to get anybody in the water. We don't have to do that. What we need to do is share the good news. What we need to do is invite, allow individuals to make up their own minds about whether or not they will. Some of the groups, when we say the gospel is for all, if you were to start in Acts chapter 2, who would that include? it would include those who murdered Jesus. If we're making thoughts and having thoughts about who's worthy of the gospel, we probably would exclude the people who stood and cried, "Crucify him, crucify him." We might exclude those who lied on him. We might exclude the false accusers and those who betrayed him. We might exclude all of them, but not God. No, Acts chapter 2, about 3,000 of the very people who had a hand in his death obeyed the gospel. When you read Acts chapter 3, some of those same people again obeyed the gospel. Saul of Tarsus, even those in the first century, were not convinced he should even be given an opportunity. Jesus said to Ananias, "Go." Ananias said, "Lord, I've heard about him. Don't send me. If I don't have to go, I don't want to go." He wouldn't have gone had the Lord not been persistent. No, he's chosen. You go. And when he did, Saul of Tarsus obeyed the gospel. The Samaritans, Acts chapter 8 and verse number 12. When Philip did go down to Samaria and preach Christ unto them, Acts 8, 5, many of those same individuals, they had heard the gospel, they believed it, they obeyed it, they were baptized. Simon the sorcerer, he obeyed the gospel. Acts 8 and verse number 13. What about the Ethiopian eunuch or nobleman? When Philip joined himself to the chariot, he obeyed the gospel. Cornelius, the first Gentile, when he heard it, obeyed the gospel. Friends, you just kind of read your way through the book of Acts and it becomes very clear. God is for anybody obeying the gospel. It's for everybody. But then I want you to notice this. I want you to notice the activity of heaven in spreading the gospel. The effort behind the spreading of the gospel. How engaged heaven was in getting the gospel to be spread. A few notes. Number one, Christ died so that sinners could be saved. You talk about effort. What did he give? All. He died so that men could obey the gospel. That same Jesus then told the apostles, go into all the world, after he spent 40 days talking to them about things pertaining to the kingdom. Then he said, go into all the world and share it. But not only that, the Holy Spirit came down in Acts chapter 2 and inspired and empowered the apostles to preach God's word. In Acts chapter 4, when they prayed after being threatened, Acts chapter 4 says they prayed and God shook the place so that they would understand his approval and his presence with them. The apostles were jailed in Acts chapter 5. The Bible says this, an angel opened the bars, opened them, and told them, go preach. Jesus stood up for Stephen. Stephen was being stoned and he said, I see the Lord standing at the right hand of God. Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 8, when the apostles come from Jerusalem, Acts 8, 14 through 17 says, they imparted unto them the Holy Spirit. They did that by laying their hands on them. In Acts chapter 8, how did Philip know to get to that chariot? An angel spoke to Philip, go join yourself to that chariot. Jesus in Acts chapter 9, when Saul is on his way to persecute more Christians, no one short of Jesus appears to Saul and says, go into the city. It'll be told you what to do. That same Jesus talked to Ananias and said, go to Saul. Cornelius prayed in Acts chapter 10 and an angel told him, send men to Joppa. The vision Peter had came a result of God's effort in giving that vision. And how does Peter know to go join himself with those men and to leave with them? The Bible says the Holy Spirit told Peter, go, asking no questions. Now, I'm saying all of that to try to illustrate how engaged heaven is in evangelism. But here is the point. Heaven actually converted nobody. All that effort we just talked about. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God, angels, busily engaged, directing, telling, instructing. But not one of them saved anybody. No, humans preached the gospel to every other human. How did these individuals get the gospel? How did they come to understand it? How did they at last obey it? The Holy Spirit didn't save a single soul. God didn't save a single individual. Jesus didn't save anybody. Every time they appeared, every time they spoke, they talked to one human and they told that human, go tell another human. And the gospel was always the medium. Angel released them from prison. You know what the angel said to them? Go preach. The Holy Spirit told Philip, go join yourself to that chariot. And when Philip got there, he opened this passage where he was reading, and Philip preached Christ to him. The Holy Spirit told Peter to go with those men, asking no questions. However, who appeared at the house of Cornelius? It was Peter. And when Peter got there, Peter told him words whereby he and his household had to be saved. Friends, there is no preaching and teaching of the gospel without humans. There is no ultimately saving the souls of other men if not from people telling them what they must do to be saved. God was actively engaged behind the scenes, directing, talking, leading, doing all of these things. But every time, people had to share the good news with other people. One passage, and we'll end tonight, is found in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 34. It sums up our discussion this evening. It's what Peter came to realize when he went and talked to Cornelius, and it's what we all must realize. Talking to Cornelius, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I most certainly understand now. That's the NASB rendering. The King James says, of a truth I perceive. The NASB says, I most certainly understand now that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that worketh righteousness is accepted of him. You and I, friends and family, must share the good news of Jesus Christ. And we must avoid judging books by their covers. We must avoid deciding for people whether or not they will obey the gospel. We probably wouldn't have picked Saul, but God did. We may have missed Ananias, but God didn't. Maybe we pass by the eunuch. Maybe we never make it to the Samaritans, but God did. You and I need to appreciate that God will save anybody who is willing to obey the gospel, but nobody can obey the gospel if they never hear it. May God help us to be like him, to have a whosoever will approach to the sharing of the good news of Jesus Christ. Are you a Christian tonight? If you're not a Christian, you need to become a Christian. Friends, there is no better way to live your life. We were talking last week in Bible class. I believe we were talking about purpose. The idea is that people are constantly looking for their purpose. I don't know what I'm doing or why I'm here, and I'm searching for meaning and this thing and that thing. And a lot of people have given themselves to a lot of different purposes. Acts chapter 17, about verse number 27, the Apostle Paul says that God put us here that we should seek the Lord. Now, friends, if you want a purpose, that's it. And if you fail at that purpose, it won't matter what else you accomplish. If you don't find Jesus in eternity, nothing else will matter. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8:24. You need to turn from sin, Luke 13:3. You need to confess the name of Jesus, Romans 10:9 and 10. and be immersed with Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and let that same Jesus wash away your sins. Be, as Paul says, buried with him in baptism, and then rise and walk in newness of life, Romans 6:3-5. If you've never done that, you need to. If you are his child, live in a way that's not pleasing to him. I hope you know that your Father's arms are ever open, that he'll have you back. There is nothing that you can do that God won't say, come home. He will have you if you will but come. As we move forward into this next year, we're going to talk a lot about loving one another. These sermons actually have been 2 years in advance. So maybe you'll forget them by then and we'll preach them all over again. I was expecting you to laugh at that, but since you didn't, maybe we will. Just preach them all over again. The point will be this: when at last we do talk about evangelism, I'm not suggesting to you that it's easy, but there needs to be in every one of us a willingness. It does not matter what this person looks like. It does not matter what this person has done. It does not matter who this person is. This person is a soul. This person needs Jesus. And I have the good news. May God bless us with the strength and the courage to share the good news with anybody who needs it. Subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.